Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, it's the Dynamite Show, Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins, and joining us for a while anyways, however long he wants to, Kevin Ely from The Boom. Hey Kevin. You may have seen and or heard Kevin and Jeff doing the post show for Dynasty earlier this week, I also want to share my thoughts on Dynasty, but one of the reasons I got Kevin on here is that we were having a discussion in the Discord prior to Dynasty about the build for Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson.
Let me pause real quick. If you'd like to join our Discord, you can email Garrett at gg@fightgamemedia.com, right?
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. Please do. We've had some people that found this show and then came into the Discord, and I'm kind of really enjoying the extra people, so it's cool. And we have our very own channel in the Discord, you know, the Dynamite Show. So Kevin and I were going back and forth for days, it seems,
and back and forth, and
and
we beat that horse dead, then we buried it and dug it up again and beat it down again.
Part of the issue is that I was listening to stuff on delays and I was watching stuff on delays, and so I kept going back to things that had already been discussed. My gist was that I knew the match was going to be great, but I just didn't really care for the build. And the reason being was that I didn't feel like, number one, there was no real stakes, and I wasn't buying the idea that the winner would be the best in the world, because Brian Danielson loses all his big matches in AEW. And Will Ospreay, while I concede, might be the best in-ring wrestler in the world, the results don't necessarily show it. So, you know, if that's what we're talking about, and then it came down to, what does best in the world mean? Are we talking just best in-ring performer, or are we talking the best guy, you know, the champion? And really, I mean, if you want to say that, well, then the guy that wins the championship is the best in the world, and we shouldn't even have anyone else call anyone. And we're going to get into that in a little bit, because I did an experiment on X. I'm going to share the results a little bit later. But Kevin, tell me why I'm wrong. In a short word, because we don't want to go for 2 hours on this.
No.
You mean just on this or on most things?
No, just on this.
Okay, just checking.
No, I'm wrong on a lot of stuff.
It's not so much that I think you're wrong. I just, it worked for me.
Okay.
And as we talked more about it, and as I got ready for that show, was watching the show, I had to like admit to myself how much of this was informed by my own bias, in that, you know, this was literally my favorite wrestler to watch right now versus pretty much my favorite wrestler of all time, like Brian Danielson and Ricky Steamboat kind of trade spots, depending on how nostalgic I feel. So the idea of the best in the world versus the best ever, or the best of the last 20 years, for me, totally clicked, because I'm like, well, yeah, exactly. That's, I can't think of a match I'd be more excited to see, title or not, no story. I don't need to, you know, that's the story to me.
So would it be kind of like, maybe not quite this, but maybe like almost like Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, if you're a WWE fan, although that would have been almost 15 years.
Something like that. Yeah.
Or maybe even
like
Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, you know?
Yeah. Like, or like if, I don't know. I could sit and hypothesize it. Yeah. But yeah, something like that, where it's okay. Like, you know, and so for me, it, you talk about dream match. I'm like, yeah, it's a dream match. That's, you know.
Okay. And, well, and I don't doubt that. I don't dispute that it's a dream match.
Mm-hmm.
Where they really got me was so Will had done that one promo on Collision where he comes out and he says, I'm calling out the gold standard, which is Bryan Danielson. And right there, I was like,
right,
what is he talking about? Bryan Danielson was just in the Continental Classic.
To him,
he didn't even make it standard. He didn't even make it to the finals, and you're calling out him. It's because you want the easy guy. That's what I'm thinking in my head.
The next week,
he comes out on Dynamite, and he explains it further, and he says, you know, like, the two of us were both told that we were never going to wrestle again, and mm-hmm. we both came back, and we literally are putting our lives on the line every time we come out here. And then Danielson comes back with, you, like, I'm literally, like, I'm willing to die to do this. And mm-hmm. and when they started talking about that, like, that's what hooked me. And then at some point, they just started going back to this best in the world thing. And I was more mm-hmm. into the idea of just these two guys, you know, that have nothing else. Like, all they mm-hmm. have is wrestling. And mm-hmm. and they're willing to give anything for it. Danielson cut a great promo on Collision that nobody saw, which was what I wanted the whole time. So by the time I saw Collision, which was about an hour before I watched Dynasty, I was like, okay, now I'm hyped, you know, because Danielson said, like, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Like, and this is what I wanted. Like, I didn't want, we're going to have the best match of all time. I want to hurt you.
He was also careful. I don't know if you noticed, but he was also careful to only call Ospreay or like something. He said something like two of the best wrestlers in the world.
Oh, okay.
Like, I noticed that Danielson himself I think he was almost on your side. He didn't use that kind of language, you know. and he did talk about, he sort of invoked the story that you guys had talked about on the show leading up to it of being, am I still that guy? I'm trying to finish my career. You know, can I do it? And then Ospreay played that in, you know. So to me, it was more of a thing where it was like, it was working for me. And so I was thinking, well, if it works for me, it works.
Okay.
And, but also by the end of it, I was just like, it gave me everything I wanted and more. And also, here's the thing. I saw like you rate, cause you're actually writing down your star rankings. Kind of like sort of say, oh, it's about this. And then I don't write it down and forget it or whatever. But like, we're talking about the difference between a 6 and a 6.5 star match here.
Well, to me, like, once you get once you get to 6,
right,
you're like, you could say 10, it's the same.
It's possibly a top 5 match ever for me.
Yeah, and me too.
But
6.
But here's the thing. The only thing that would have made it up against those other ones is if there was more of an issue, if there was a title, if there was a story, if it was a culmination of someone's story. Now, I feel like it's going to be the kickoff of a longer story.
Yes. Yes.
That involves
more
people.
And I feel
people.
Like if they have a match down the road where Will has a chance to use that Tiger Driver and he doesn't use it, and then Danielson takes advantage and gets a win, that's going to put that one above this one. And then later on, when he finally does use the Tiger Driver again and puts Danielson out for good, and ends his career, I'm going to be like, even though, you know, like in storyline, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, that was perfect. I thought the Omega matches were better. And the Omega Ospreay, I mean, and like one of the things I didn't like in this match, and again, we're nitpicking a match I gave 6 stars to, was at the beginning, the first 15 minutes or so was literally just them milking in the crowd cheers. And, you know, it was a great atmosphere and it was awesome and it would have been amazing to be there. But in terms of an actual match, if you shut the sound down, you know, like, that wasn't that. But again, like
that stuff, though,
it worked. Like, don't get me wrong. It worked. But in terms of an actual physical match, if that's what we're grading, that's why I thought Omega Ospreay was better, because they just went at it like bell to bell.
Yeah.
Whereas once that they got that out of their system, the crowd got out of their system, then those two got to fighting. I mean, it was incredible. And I mean, even the beginning part was incredible too, but just different. So, I mean, I gave it 6. You said 6.5. It was funny because Garrett made a comment in the Discord when I gave it 6. And he's like, oh, Dave's going to disagree with you and he's going to be off. And I'm like, what? Dave didn't like it? And he's like, no, he's going to give it 7. or 7.5. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're like, we both loved the match. We both thought
Once
it was one of the best matches.
Broken the sound barrier. Right, you're fast.
Let me get in on this because yes. this yes, is something please. That annoys the hell out of me for both of you. Okay.
Okay.
The problem, and Dave actually kind of alludes to it a little bit on Wrestling Observer Radio after the match or today or last night, whenever it was.
I haven't heard it yet, so fill me in.
If you go above 5, it becomes prisoner of the moment stuff.
Yeah.
And to me, it's one of those things where it's like, okay. And he's talking about Steamboat Flair. And, you know, and actually, I may be also... seeping in a bit of the Andrew Zarian Garrett show as well, because they made a good point. It's like when they were watching Flair Steamboat and Funk was the commentator before he did the angle, he's like, these guys are going at such a fast pace that nobody else could possibly keep up and blah, blah, blah. And that was a 5-star match. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, once this athleticism gets outdated,
mm-hmm.
are those going to be 8 and 9-star matches then or whatever? If you do it at 5, then you go, okay, they're perfect. And then you can have more of a debate to me because it's like one of those things where it's like, and also to me, it also insults those matches that were 4 and 3/4 stars that some of us think should be 5 stars. Because it's like, oh, well, that's even far and away better than this 4.
Like Kurt Angle never had a 5-star match.
Yeah, and I always consider, you know, that Bailey Sasha at Brooklyn. Yeah. I think that's a 5-star.
That's
match
a perfect
all
match.
The way.
Yeah.
That now would probably get 6.
I don't think so. I think he'd still get 4.75 and defend it. I mean, see, because he was still on his Charlotte kick then.
Okay, if they had that match in AEW.
I love Dave, but he has his biases, and that was point. That was during the time when he wasn't giving Sasha all the credit he was giving Charlotte.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, it's 5 stars. Yes, it's a perfect match to us, and it's like one of those things where it just drives me nuts that we're now getting to. Well, you two are arguing over again AP wrestling. We're great inflating here, and nobody's getting into the Ivy League, so let's just call it fun.
Well, and for me, like I will say too, when I gave it 6 in my mind, I thought this might be the best match I've ever seen. I thought for sure it's the best AEW match I've ever seen. And then I went back and looked at my last year's ratings and I gave Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay 6.5. And that was at Forbidden Door. So technically it's an AEW and JPW show. And so that's my rationale for saying it's the best AEW match of all time. But I contradicted myself. And then I had to justify, okay, why did I rate that match higher? And then I had to really think about it. And then I remembered and I will say, you talk about personal bias, I think Kenny Omega is the absolute best. I think Will Ospreay might be at some point, but Kenny Omega is the best wrestler of the last 10 years. He might still be the best wrestler today. We'll see what he's like when he comes back. But just the athleticism and the storytelling and the little details that he does, like, I'm just a sucker for that. Whereas with Danielson, his strength is the believability and the physicality.
But like Jeff said, like at this point, when you're talking about the difference between them, you're talking about preference. Yeah. Like, you know, I enjoy some of the things Bryan Danielson does that those two don't. Some people like Okada, you know, better for the things that he does. Some of those top, you're in a rarefied air. And if I, you know, and like I said, I don't like keep a track of my like star ratings or whatever, but like at the end of the year when I vote on matches and things, something that like, if Bailey and Sasha, if that match were in this year with this match, there would not be a whole lot of air between them in terms of, you know, even though one is clearly like a higher level of athleticism and difficulty and, you know, but the other one had a perfect story and perfect execution. Like it was about as perfect as a match as you can get based on the ability of the people.
That's like Cody Roman too.
In its own way, its own, like that, I would not, if someone had that match over this, I would probably say they were wrong, but I wouldn't, like you said, you would probably go back and watch that before you'd watch this.
Because
I wouldn't blame you because it's Avengers Endgame.
And
it's the culmination of years of threads all coming together and callbacks and fan service and all this stuff. And I get that. And this in its own way is setting that up for maybe a retirement match or something like,
By the same token, you know, by what you're saying, I would be more into a rematch of Danielson Ospreay than it would be in a rematch of Roman and Cody at this point. Yeah. So this said, we're talking about how great Ospreay and Danielson are. And keep in mind, the world champion of AEW right now is Swerve Strickland. He beat Samoa Joe in the main event of AEW Dynasty to win the world title. And this got me thinking about, why is Swerve the champion? And I don't want to necessarily have an answer to that question, but I want to say, is he the guy that I would pick to be the champion if I was running the promotion? And to me, the five most important categories in that you want in a world champion are in-ring ability, charisma, promos, star power, and what was the other one? You look at the guy and, oh my God, I love that, you know. So I thought about who would be the top five in each of these categories in AEW. And unfortunately, X only allows you to put four in a poll. So I put it to my Twitter followers or my X followers and to ask. And I would say, like, out of all those categories, I'm not sure I would put Swerve in the top five of any of them. And the closest would be charisma. And I actually put him in my poll on charisma and he finished last. Oh, well, he's tied with Orange Cassidy, which kind of surprised me. MJF was number one. Willow Nightingale was number two. And then Orange Cassidy and Swerve Strickland were tied at 14.8%. And this is over 100 votes. So the one person that a lot of people mentioned in the comments was Will Ospreay. And I have a feeling if I had included him, he might've won it, or he would have been at least been second. He definitely would have finished ahead of Swerve. When I did which wrestler has the best look, my choices were Claudio Castagnoli, Powerhouse Hobbs, Kazuchika Okada, and Hangman Page. And the winner was Powerhouse Hobbs at 33.9%. Hmm. Not a single person mentioned Swerve in the comments. My next one was which wrestler do you think is the biggest star? Now, in my opinion, if you're coming in from WWE at some point, that automatically gives you a leg up because, you know, the much higher profile. So my four choices were John Moxley, Chris Jericho, Adam Copeland, and Bryan Danielson. Moxley won with 47.1%. A lot of people mentioned Ospreay in the category here as well. I shouldn't say a lot. One. I'm thinking of a different category. And Omega as well got mentioned. And then when I said in-ring ability, it was pretty much Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson ran away with it, but Ospreay got double the votes of Danielson. 56.2% said Ospreay. Kenny Omega was third. Kazuchika Okada was fourth. And nobody else was mentioned in the comments. One person said Takeshita, which should be included in that. And I don't know if I agree, but, you know, it's a decent choice. And then top promo, MJF at 47.7% won. Eddie Kingston was second, and Christian Cage and John Moxley were tied for third. A couple people mentioned Ospreay again, and I think he was the only one. And another person who got in on the charisma vote was Hook, was mentioned by a few people. So my point in doing all this was we did all this thing, and Swerve does not rank in any of these categories, and I'm not sure why he's a champion based on that. Other than they chose him and hopefully he grows into the role. But I don't see, like, I just think, like, he feels like a, I don't know, like he's just keeping the belt warm for Will Ospreay or somebody else.
All I'm Jeff, what do you think? You know, Ron Garvin used to be NWA champ.
Yeah. That didn't last very long, did it?
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
But it's mostly on toughness. So, yeah.
But is he the guy? Am I off on these? Like, am I underrating Swerve on any of these, or is there something more important that I'm missing?
Kevin,
I look at it as like there's the sum of the parts and there's the whole, you know, that.
Okay.
Right now, that over the last year, he was resonating with the fan base as much as just about anybody. To the point where people were almost calling for it. And I think they saw an opportunity to elevate somebody into a spot, and you know, there's a lot of there was talk about like his ability to cross over into other entertainment forms and, you know, get other media coverage and things like that. And so there might be something of that. So I think it's something of like, if he's, you know, I don't know, if you had like the video game ranking for him, like how would each of those categories, he might be better across the board overall, where some of those people might excel in one and be, you know, I mean, is he better than, I mean, I think Will Ospreay is the future of the company. He's, I've said, you know, before, he's like he's got the fan connection that Cody Rhodes has, but the ability of Kenny Omega. And so he's like about as perfect as a guy as you can get right now.
Yeah. But it's early, right? So you want to build
it. It's early. I think right now the two guys they do need to be pushing are Swerve. I mean, as far as like presenting as the face of this company are Swerve and Will. And then maybe, I don't think Mercedes is there. I don't, you know.
I think maybe Willow. You know what I mean? Like I think they got something there, and maybe they need to use Mercedes to put Willow over. Like, as weird as that sounds because of how much money they're paying her, I just think like she's got something you can't teach. It's almost like Trick Williams in WWE, you know, or even Cody, you know, like really that connection that you not a lot of people have, and Will, and you know, quite honestly, Will. I think that they missed a window with Swerve. I think they should have, I don't know if they pivoted and had him beat
hand going into that triple threat. And then
before that, I think he should have been the guy to beat MJF at World's End.
Oh, okay.
You remember they did that promo exchange backstage with Hangman? It was a couple weeks before World's End, and the buzz when it was Swerve and MJF together.
Yeah,
when
he came out the locker room and cut him down a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was it. Like, he was coming off that big win over Hangman. He was never hotter, but they had, you know, Tony had Samoa Joe in mind too. And Joe did great, don't get me wrong. But I think that maybe that was the pivot that they could have done there. And then now you'd be sitting here and, you know, you could slowly turn Swerve heel off of, you know, all the reaction Will's getting, and you could build to that big match down the road between Swerve and Will Ospreay. I think it's pretty clear now we're not getting Swerve and Ospreay at all in, based on what we saw tonight. So, you know, that's a choice, and it's a fine choice. And you know what? Give Swerve the chance to have a nice run and, you know, build Will up for next year. I mean, you know, you don't have to do it immediately. And I'm sure there's going to be people criticizing Pony for that, but I'm not going to criticize him for that. I think it's fine.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right. Kevin, do you want to stick around for the show review, or it's up to you?
I'll hang out. but I won't.
Okay.
Feel free to shuffle me off.
Is this a good segue for the beginning of the show? Because I got a mini rant coming.
Okay. No, you go ahead.
So
I think this show is going to be pretty quick to go through, honestly.
So Dynasty.
Yes.
Hot product.
Yep.
Lots of buzz. Lots of chatter. Everybody talking. Greatest match ever. Et cetera, et cetera. New champ. Swerve Strickland. Coming in. And we start the show with Trent Beretta.
Yeah.
And Orange Cassidy and Chuck.
Chucky T.
What? slow down here. Far be it from me to tell Tony Khan that he doesn't have a flair for the dramatic in any way or any sense of style or purpose or pomp and circumstance or anything. But after your pay-per-view.
Did Chuck know he was going to be on TV?
You're building to the main event on Rampage on Friday night.
Hey, you want people to tune in.
As opposed to giving your new champion a moment to come out and even thank the fans. Now, I'll get into how they did the champ dirty in the next segment. But nevertheless, WWE, in their opening segment, that god-awful 20-minute monologues that they do every damn week, they tell you what's important this week.
45 minutes of Cody and The Rock after WrestleMania.
It doesn't matter. It was compelling television.
Oh, it was.
And that's what this is television. Yeah. If this goes to your point, Paul, if Swerve is a guy, and if Swerve is the future of this company, one of those things, then this is the moment. You will not get another moment like this, where you bring out Swerve to cut a main event style promo, thanking the fans. I'm a babyface now. Nana's chanting Who's House. You give him the moment to say, thank you to the fans. I'm now the champ, period. But no.
And then you could have Don Callis come out and interrupt him and do whatever you want to do. Yeah, yeah.
Here, I'm just stating for the fact that you lead off the show with one of your hot hands, and I would prefer it not be Ospreay or Danielson. I prefer it would be your champion. But if you wanted to make it Will, I would have been fine with that too.
You could have even opened with the Willow celebration.
You got to start with Swerve.
Yeah. I agree.
You do a 30-second recap of how amazing Dynasty was and how this is where the best wrestle and this is the state of the art of professional wrestling, ends with Swerve with the belt, and then Swerve comes out in person.
Yeah.
And so he does that match, but they cut it in half.
Yeah. Well, what you're talking about too, it's kind of funny because this show started. I don't even think we didn't even get the opening credits of Dynamite. We literally had we heard Trent's music. No, we heard Orange's music.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts the entrance and then he immediately gets attacked. Or no, there's no Orange. And then he gets thrown through a door by Trent Beretta. Mm-hmm. And that's how the show starts. And it's just your one of your most popular guys getting beat down by Trent Beretta. And then he calls out Chucky T. And it's like, okay. And they had advertised this segment. I didn't exactly know what it was called. You know, it was called, Are We Best Friends or something like that. Before that happened, we did get the cold open of the Bucks and Okada arriving in an SUV and then Jack Perry following in his own SUV behind them. And then they brought him into the building. Security tried to take him away and Bucks are like, no, he's with us. It's cool.
Yeah, it seems like a bigger deal than your champ. The Jack Bucks Perry. And Okada and Jack Perry.
Yeah, well, Okada might be, but and honestly, the Bucks too.
Okay.
So we got that segment. Trent calls out Chuck. I pointed out that someone had a "We Want Vance" sign. Thank God they took that away. Chuck comes out. Trent says, I'm sorry that we spent 5 years with this narcissistic prick. He was supposed to be our mascot, and we became his lackey. Orange Cassidy doesn't care about you. He's not your friend. Fans are chanting freshly squeezed. He said, I care about Chuck. I'm your friend. I love you. Crowd boos that. Please do the right thing and give the people what they want. And he puts out his hand and holds out his arms, tosses the mic down. And Chuck puts out his arms, fans boo. He walks over to him and then he grabs the mic and he says, "You know, Trent, I always thought you were a piece of shit." And he hit him with the mic and they brawled a bit. And I really liked that line because when this whole thing started on BTE, he used to always call him a piece of shit backstage. Now I'm probably the only person that remembers this, but I kind of dug it. And long story short, this ended up setting up a parking lot brawl that's going to happen on Rampage because Chuck isn't cleared to wrestle, but he can have a parking lot brawl.
All right, somebody needs to explain to me something because there's a joke on social media that Chuck E. T. finished his story by being able to say shit on national television. Is that a BTE joke or long-term?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a BTE thing. Yeah,
I think because... I think he was back early when they'd get like one of those a night. I think he would talk on Twitter about how like one day I'm going to be the one to say it.
The main event swear word, as I like to call it. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
In the first 5 minutes of the show. Chuck did not look like he had been given much time to prepare to be on television. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone look worse. I'm not body shaming. I'm just like this guy, like, do they have makeup? Like, this looks like he walked in out of the crowd.
Chuck Taylor.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But from these, from that, we went to a great John Moxley promo. He's defending the IWGP title tonight. He's confident he's going to defend successfully, but don't mistake my arrogance for ignorance. Powerhouse Hobbs is a truck of a man, and he hits like one too. He's got a killer instinct I can see and smell. I'm acutely aware of what's at stake. One mistake, and my entire world comes crashing down on me. The Callis family put a hit out on my friend, and I know how far they're willing to go. No one knows more than me what it takes to get to the top and stay there. Tonight's going to suck. It's going to be a march through hell, but there's nowhere I'd rather be. No better way to feel alive. I don't play golf. This is pro wrestling, the king of sports, the greatest sport in the world. Tonight, I'm going to remind the world of just who I am. And when the oxygen is pulled out of Powerhouse's lungs, they're going to feel it from Jacksonville to Tokyo. Freaking great promo. Love John Moxley.
Would have been a great promo to come after the world champion.
Yes.
This is the exact opposite of what they did.
Yeah. After week Swerve wins and does his promo and beats Kyle Fletcher and cements his status as taking over Daly's place. Yes. Then you cut to John Moxley. Oh, and also we also have that title too.
And Moxley's fuming because I'm the champion, not this guy. But instead, we almost said he was more important than Swerve.
Yes.
And really, okay, like go back to what I said at the beginning. Like, who is more of the guy in AEW? Is it Moxley or Swerve? I think it's Moxley right now. I mean, we want to build Swerve to get there, but I mean, you know, Moxley's ahead of Swerve, in my opinion, like probably in most people's eyes. But I don't know. Speaking of Swerve, whose house? And Nana does an intro for Swerve. They showed highlights of him winning the belt. And this led into a title eliminator match between Swerve Strickland and the ROH television champion, Kyle Fletcher. And we know what happens when an ROH champion has to wrestle on Dynamite. Not going to go good for him.
Far be it from me to accuse Tony Khan of not understanding television in some ways. So his first title defense, you say, is against the 6'5", uber athletic,
Kyle Fletcher. Yeah. We talked about look as being one of the things.
Somebody who is bigger,
faster and stronger
and resembles the Will champion.
Ospreay. Yeah.
I was baffled by these choices.
And Fletcher took the beginning part of the match anyways. You know, it was, you know, Callis was on camera on commentary, and you could tell they're playing up the dissension now. A couple things I noted here. It was very colorful tonight, and the setup was way different than usual. We had a big video wall on the hard cam, which I don't recall ever seeing before, with AEW written in multicolor. It looked like it was NXT 2.0. The crowd for this match, anyways, was super loud. almost to the point where I wasn't sure if it was even being piped in. Now, you know, it might sound like I'm just, you know, maybe they just really love Swerve, but at times it looked like Nana was leading cheer. It sounded like Nana was leading cheers, but then when they showed him on camera, he wasn't. So I'm not exactly sure what was going on there, but anyways, they had this match and it was a really good match. Callis said at one point that Kyle's game plan isn't working. And then right after that, he hit a Blue Thunder Bomb. And then again, speaking to what's most important, we did a split screen and showed the Elite and Jack Perry heading into Tony Khan's office during this match. Now, this one confused me because we've already seen multiple times that Tony Khan is sitting in Gorilla producing the show, but they went to Tony Khan's office to talk to him. So was someone else producing the show tonight? Maybe he produces the show from his office. I'm not exactly sure what that was, but a little bit of continuity issues there. But
yeah, because remember just last week they showed him
in
the back at Gorilla with Tony Khan. And,
and we've established that's right next to the stage because, because they went immediately to their entrance after that. Yeah. So then the match got good. At one point, Taz was actually doing his job and pointing out Kyle had a heel hook and he was explaining that he didn't have the technique right and explained what he would have to do. And then Kyle actually did it. And, and it was like, hey, you know, Taz kind of called that. Swerve got out of that, hits a flatliner, brainbuster. They did some pile driver reversals. They did this real awkward exchange and Fletcher hit what they call the spike trial pile driver, but it wasn't. Then Callis gets up on the at the announce desk and he screams out Melbourne because he's calling plays. And then Kyle Fletcher immediately leaves the ring and he looks under the ring and then he kind of shakes his head and he's like, nope. So he's calling off Callis. And Tony Schiavone said he decided to use Sydney instead of Melbourne, which is a pretty funny line. And then he, unfortunately for him, got nailed with the Swerve stomp and kicked out of that. But then Swerve hit the house call and he got the pin and won. And story here is that Fletcher maybe would have won if he would have listened to Callis, but he didn't. Because Callis wanted him to cheat, I think, was the underlying thing. I thought it was a good match, but I'm sure, Jeff, what do you do? Just got any thoughts other than what you already said?
No, it was good. I just, again, Swerve.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of that Swerve double stomp move where the guy just hangs out there looking up like he's dazed for a while. It really kills the flow of a lot of the match for me, even if it's the end of it. And I'm starting to think with the dissension being ramped up, I think we're wrong about anarchy in the arena.
Oh, we definitely are because, I mean, Will's already out of it.
Right. So it's going to be for the soul of AEW.
It's going to be the Elite.
Bucks with the Elite versus probably the Blackpool Combat Club.
Isn't that what we did last year too?
I think? No.
Maybe it's 2 years ago.
Could be. Yeah. So
the one we were at with James, I think, right, Kev?
No, that was that yeah.
Oh no, that was
last year. Proud and Powerful. Elite versus Elite versus BCC.
Okay.
With the exploding Nike.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and maybe Hangman will be back and he'll join up with Mox.
And
maybe.
I think we might just get like a four-way between the others.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Hobbs, I mean,
because Will's doing the international title, so.
Yeah.
I have a random theory that came up tonight that we're going to see a merger between the Undisputed Kingdom and the Callis family.
Really? I thought the breakup might be to pull Callis off of this family and put him with the Elite.
I kind of wouldn't mind Callis as the head of the Undisputed Kingdom, honestly.
And maybe bring Takeshita with him in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They made a point talking about how Callis was looking to expand.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, so that's right.
They're teasing new people. And I was trying to think of who's out there. And, you know, Big Bill's off the board now. So I don't know who would do it. And then, but the setting up, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but setting up Ospreay's match at Double or Nothing kind of made me wonder if that's all going to come together. But then again, I thought this was all going to happen at World's End too, and nothing did. So,
you know, yeah, like the Undisputed Kingdom, maybe minus the Kingdom would be good. Undisputed family. Yeah, the Undisputed Family. Add Cole, Wardlow, and Roddy.
Mixing and matching those names.
Yeah, the Undisputed Family. I like that. And the initials would be TUF. TUF. Excalibur said how much he loves going to Winnipeg and pointed out that next week Kenny Omega is going to return. That's the show I'm going to be at. Kevin may or may not be hosting in my place. If he's not, we'll have somebody else. He's got a.
Someone to try. I have to get out of something.
Yeah, but either way, somebody will be here with Jeff, and I'll be at the show, and maybe I'll call in and give my thoughts. But we'll hear more about Winnipeg later on. We went to the back with Renee, and she's with Thunder Rosa. She said, "You haven't had the belt in 2 years." Asked what went wrong. Rosa says, "I can't complain. The only thing I can tell you is that Deonna tried to get involved. I didn't want that. I was proud of what I accomplished." Deonna shows up, got in an argument with her, shoves her. Thunder Rosa shoved back. Security separated them. They're screaming at each other. My least favorite trope in wrestling is women being bitchy to each other backstage. That's all I got to say about that. This was didn't do either one of them any favors, in my opinion. But
not just that, they're on the same side.
Well, yeah. It
continues to be the dumbest feud in wrestling right now.
Well, and not only that, but Tony seems to be turning babyface, so.
Yes.
So that kind of puts
and
them.
And Deonna was last seen helping Thunder not lose a match.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Thunder Rosa and Tony had a really good match on Sunday. Maybe the best singles women's match in AEW this year. I thought
this year, yes.
Yeah, somebody pointed out that it was the best women's match, but I remember that street fight with Willow and Statlander against Sky Blue and Anna Jay, I think it was, or
that
Julia.
That one was better.
Yeah. That was better. And then I went and saw a match on NXT that was even better than that one, so. You know, it's they got a ways to go, but they're getting there. They're getting there. Speaking of which, actually, I'll say this. Mina Shirakawa and Anna Jay might have been better than Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa on the pay-per-view. I love this match tonight.
I wasn't that far, but it was fine. I mean,
I thought it was really good. Like Mina Shirakawa is like she's only been on TV a couple times and she's already over. She's really good. She's working over the knee for the whole match. And then like posing because that's her character. And it's weird. At one point, they're doing the yay boo spot, but the fans were actually booing for both of them. She hit Eddie Kingston's spinning back fist like better than he does. Then she drove Anna to the, I keep wanting to say Anna, drove Anna to the ground with knees to the chest from the top turnbuckle. Then Anna hit a thrust kick. And then she did a reverse. I never know what that thing's called, but when they put them on the back and drop to the knees, I just a blanket on what it's called. Then she hit an enziguri. Then she went for the glamorous driver, but Anna reversed it into the Queen Slayer. Mina fought that off and cradled her for a pin. And I really, really like this match. I don't know how long it was, but it was great.
That was a cool little cradle she used too.
Yeah.
She draped her leg over. That was pretty cool.
She's real good.
Anna Jay has improved.
Yep.
But the funny thing is, I believe these two wrestlers have been in the business the same number of years.
Roughly, yeah.
That could be, yeah.
Within a year.
Because they said Mina had only been in five. Mm-hmm. And I think Anna Jay's only been in five, maybe six. Mm-hmm. Now would be the time. And she is getting a lot of reps.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know. I mean, she's almost on every show.
Yeah.
Every week. It's
one of the shows. Yeah.
It's interesting. Well, I mean, like she had a week where she was on all three.
Oh yeah, yeah, week. Yeah.
And she's even doing
ROH occasionally.
And she's doing Collision and she's on ROH this or the tape match against Allison Kay is this week.
Oh.
If there is upward mobility with Anna Jay, now is the time for the excursion. It should have been 3 or 4 years ago, to be honest with you. But if she's going to go to Stardom, I got no complaints.
She's doing she's got a great look too. Like it's everything you'd want. Okay. So maybe I'm overrating it a bit. I don't know. I'll check cage match later. I gave it the same rating as Tony and Thunder Rosa.
Okay. You know,
oh, wow.
For those that are curious. 3.5 stars.
Kevin will attest. I gushed over Tony and
okay.
Thunder Rosa on the pay-per-view. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, no arguments here. I thought the match was really good. So Mina and Mariah are celebrating after the match. Oh, yeah, I didn't mention Mariah May was at ringside, and she's not dressed up like Toni Storm this time. She's dressed up like Tiffany Stratton in a pink cheerleaders outfit.
That's a tennis skirt, but okay.
Okay, okay. Well, that was Tiffany's original gimmick.
Tennis. Yeah,
that's true.
She was a tennis player, yeah. So they're celebrating, and then Anna attacked Mariah from behind and starts choking her out. And then Toni Storm made the save. So it's 3-on-1 baby faces, and they chased Anna away. And then Serena Deeb's music played. and she wanders out for some reason, I wrote. And then Tony Storm had taken off her shoes, but also left her belt on the ramp. So she sees the belt sitting there, and she's about to pick it up, and then she says, nope. And then she sits down on the stage, and the camera's right in her face, and she says, I'm not going to do the old trope and hold the belt over my head, but I'm going to make you a promise. The next time I touch that belt, it's going to belong to me. I really, really like this. Like, a lot. There's no way she's winning the belt.
Yeah.
No, but it was loud enough that you could hear it.
I liked it. I'll tell you what I didn't like. I wish she'd come out in her gear.
Yeah.
The flag and done this instead of dressing up, because I don't care. Because her whole gimmick is how serious she is as a wrestler. I would have liked that as opposed to dressing up for it.
And her presentation is distinct departure from what was going on in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, because Tony was like holding Mariah, and I think there's like a lesbian love triangle going on there where like Tony's jealous of Mina and their relationship. And so, yeah, then Serena is out there to like, no, this is about wrestling. So
it feels to me like you've got Tony booked out through all in now.
Yeah.
Because you've got Serena at Double or Nothing. You can do Mina at Forbidden Door, leading to the Mariah breakup. At Forbidden Door, which would lead to Mariah getting the match in her home country at All In.
And then Jamie Hayter showing up to challenge a winner.
In a perfect world. The top.
Yeah, yeah. Or that'd be great.
One of the two.
Matt, who watches a lot of Stardom, points out that Mina was mediocre as hell when she joined Stardom, and less than 4 years ago, now she's great. So yeah, I 100% agree with what he's saying here. Get her over there. Anna Jay, that is. And they could probably use her because they've lost some people recently. And now they got Marigold they're competing with. So we continue with the women. And we have Stokely and Statlander in the ring for the Willow Nightingale Championship celebration. They brought out Caprice Coleman to do commentary for this, which I'm wondering, like, why are they doing this? And then at one point, he rapped to Willow's music, and that made it all worthwhile. I thought it was great. So Stokes says he's happy that one of his best friends became TBS champion. There's balloons all over the place. Stat calls her the babe with the power, and we're here to give her the flowers. She brightens our day. Standing here in silver because she's out gold because she has the TBS championship to hold. And she's trying to rap, and it's not getting over. And Stokely looks at her and he says, that was two packs of ass. Which I don't know what that meant. And somebody explained it to me on Twitter, and I don't care because it was just a great line. doesn't even matter if it made sense at all. it was great. And then Stokely said, I didn't like you when this started. And Willow says, I didn't like you either. And she says, but you're like a fungus that the doctor couldn't cut off. You earned that championship and we're both proud of you. And then Willow says, tonight in Jacksonville, this is the very place that in spring 2022, and then she corrected herself into 2020, I was right there in the front row trying to catch my break. In 2022, I was here with Tony Schiavone and they put up that Willow Nightingale was all elite. And tonight I'm the face of TBS. I'm not a rookie anymore. And then all of a sudden we hear CEO, CEO, and nobody spoils a party like Mercedes Moné. And she comes out, she asks for a mic. Stokely was dancing to her music, which is interesting. Crowd's chanting CEO. Willow looks annoyed. And she says, Jacksonville, say hello to your CEO. And she gets some boos. And Willow says, this is the fourth time you've interrupted me. This is my time. If you got something to say, say it. And she's like, I just came here to congratulate you. In 32 days, you're looking at the new face of TBS and the new TBS champion. And the fans really didn't like that. And she says, I really came out here to ask you if you're that bitch that attacked me. And Statlander says, ho, ho, she got attacked too. Maybe it was you. And then Stokely interrupts and says, we all know it was Julia Hart. Just stop this. And Willow says, you got a personal vendetta against me. And she asks Mercedes, do you think I really intentionally injured you when we wrestled in New Japan? Which this annoys me because, I mean, it was a freak accident that everyone saw. So nobody intentionally did anything. And Mercedes asked, do I blame you? Do I blame you for all the suffering and pain I went through that you took wrestling away from me for a whole year? You don't want to know the truth. And then Willow says, Mercedes, I generally feel so awful that this happened to you. I had a lot of doubts. I looked at that championship and I should have smiled, but instead I questioned myself. I went on social media. I went in the locker room. I heard the same thing. That championship reign is quite the asterisk, but not this one. At Double or Nothing, I want you at 100%. I want to show you that I can beat you and why I am the TBS championship champion. And then Mercedes said, enjoy it while you can at Double or Nothing. You know in your heart that you can't beat me. More booze, some CEO chants. And Stapp pulled her back, and Mercedes thought it was Willow, and she slapped Willow across the face. Willow gets pissed. Stokely and Statlander are holding her back. I thought this was the best segment they've done with Mercedes so far. It wasn't perfect, but at least she has a goal, and we got some heat, and I think it's pretty clear she's turning heel. Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, she talked a little more like a human, a little less catchphrasey, and just more just straight-up talk, and but Willow outclassed her, I thought, in terms of just being more believable and credible. I mean, Willow seemed like the bigger star to me, not so much in like presence, but just in terms of who's the bigger character in this, which I like. I mean, I'm very happy. It feels like Willow's finally broken through as far as being an established, like, kind of made person. And, you know, it'll be a shame if it's just to set up Mercedes, but I don't know. It's the most lively I've seen Mercedes so far. So, and I've been pretty down on her.
Jeff,
I agree. I actually thought the slap thing was clever. I watched that. I went, okay, that's a clever way to do that, where it's like she thinks that somebody's touching her, and it turns out to be the other person. I think it also kind of grounded Mercedes a little bit, because it's one of those things where it's like almost she's saying, I'm just coming out to interrupt you because I think you're the one who attacked me. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of makes some sense. She doesn't necessarily have to turn heel now, although I think she is.
Again, unless Statlander ends up churning.
Yeah, well,
and she's the one that attacked them both.
Definitely gone rogue. We're pretty sure of that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Mercedes has to. So it's one of those things. I now have to go back and go against a trope that I campaign for many a time on this channel, in a way. I think doing promos into the camera is a fantastic thing, unless you're talking to somebody else that's in the ring with you.
Yes. And yeah, Willow kept churning Willow away kept, and looking at the camera.
Did that a couple times,
and it was driving me nuts. It's like, no, Willow, yeah. Willow, talk to her. Talk to her. Don't talk to us. Talk to her over there. Yeah. That's the one you're having the feud with. This is the personal connection. Do it. You know, that kind of thing. It was driving me a little nuts.
I wonder if Jen Peppermint coached her.
I was just like, oh, my words have come back to haunt me all of a sudden. But I think, you know, I think they had a good night other than that. So, I mean, this was a positive in my opinion.
I think this match is going to have a ton of crowd heat, and it's going to be really interesting to hear, especially in Vegas, who the crowd is for. And I really think it's going to be like 90-10 for Willow.
That's okay. I'll be part of that 10% cheering for Mercedes.
Oh, will you? Well, I'll be right beside you.
CEO. Oh, yeah, sure.
I will say that if you hear people booing for Jericho amongst a bunch of cheers next week, it's probably me.
But here, okay, now this causes a bit of a problem, because now we've established Willow as quote unquote homegrown talent versus the interloper from WWE.
Yep.
Who, the high priced free agent.
To be fair, they're more.
What do you do with Mercedes if you let Willow beat her clean? I don't think she's winning clean. I think she's actually gonna probably lose with Statlander turning, and then that turns into their feud, so Mercedes can go off and have a feud with somebody else.
To be fair, I think she's more presented as an outsider from Japan than WWE. They don't really talk about WWE. It's more about Japan.
They haven't done the story, but it's kind of undeniable.
Yeah.
That's a nice attempt to gild that lily, but no, she's a.
Am I fed washing?
I mean, they're not doing the Soraya thing, you know.
No,
where she's
please no.
Where she comes in, she goes, oh, the other place was much better, and everybody else goes, yeah, it was much better. I could have. That's still one of the most baffling character choices I've ever seen. But this one is now organic, and you have now. I think you're right, Paul, in terms of the 90-10 thing. And I think that's not a problem they necessarily want.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then, you know, Mercedes will probably do the old trope of you churned on me.
Like, you people, one of you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did make it up, Matt. Nobody fed me that. That was my line. and then you guys didn't even catch it.
They haven't been called the Fed in years, Paul.
Yeah, well, not in my mentions.
Call it the Fed, but
all right. Scoops Alex Mervez, and he's actually churning it into something now, because when he was done this segment, he said, and that was a scoop. So I think like the first time ever.
This is a terrible comedy bit. I hate this so much, but
yeah,
it's so perfect because he has anti-charisma in so many ways.
So he's backstage. He's in. He's by Tony Khan's office. And then Jack Perry comes out and he asked him, are you reinstated? And Perry just walks away. And Okada walks out. Okada-san, is Jack Perry reinstated? He walks away. Nicholas, same thing. Matthew, same thing. But then he stops and he says, everything is uncertain right now, but Tony Khan has agreed to come out to the ring later on tonight and meet Jack Perry. And it was right then at that moment that I decided this show is going to do pretty good numbers, because that's a nice hook to keep people for the rest of the show. Whether you like it or not, people would be interested in this, I think, and are going to stick around to the end. That's my opinion. We'll see what happens. I'm usually wrong when I predict AEW ratings, so maybe I'm completely wrong, but I thought it was a pretty intelligent thing to do.
I now want them to go harder into the bit on Marvez. Like, give him a hat.
The hat with the tag.
Press thing.
Scoops.
Yeah.
And I want him to go full Meltzer. I want him to be the Dave Meltzer. If we're going meta, which it's obvious they want to do, let's do it. Like have Scoops just start talking about something from the inception of time up until now, and he's still talking when they come back. It'll be great. We'll just,
you know what he is? He's I think it was like the After Mags. There was one guy, Matt something or other. The gimmick was that he was like, he'd been around since like the 50s and doing reporting, and it's now the 80s, and he's completely like, wrestling has passed him by, but he's still trying to report on it. I can't remember what the guy's name was. It was Matt something. And that's who brought Matt Brill made this comment
it
here.
It feels like they're starting to make this into a bit, and that he will be the Elite's personal reporter.
He was actually based on the Ed Asner, Lou Grant. He was actually that character from the After Mags was based on Lou Grant. So anyways, useless trivia. So next we get, and again, this is what happens when I fast forward through entrances. We get what I thought was a singles match between Jay White and Dante Martin. And I quickly figured out that it was not a singles match between Jay White and Dante Martin. It was something called the Casino Gauntlet match. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what the rules were. I'm not sure the announcers did either, unless they explained it and I skipped it during the entrances. But I thought it was a battle royal.
They said it during the match, actually, because they just said,
as the match was going, right?
Yeah, we have a casino gauntlet going on, and I go, what the hell is a casino gauntlet?
They did it in the first ring entrance when he said
this
match is a casino gauntlet match. He said it's a sudden death, and men.
We don't know who's in it.
Essentially, people will keep entering until somebody wins, and then during the match, they said that they had 21 people in the back. Lined up, ready to enter the match until someone.
But they weren't all in this match.
No.
And not only that,
because it goes until someone ends it. It could have ended. Yeah. Like Dante Martin could have pinned the first guy and it would have been over.
Well, they said, and they actually made that point, that they said the first two guys out there have an advantage because they could actually end the match before anyone else comes out. And they said, we have no idea who's coming. We have no idea when they're coming. There was no timed entrances. Like, because if there was a commercial,
it was
conveniently no one came in during the commercials.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you would get, minute apart, you get some entrances. So it was chaos, but it was fun chaos. I thought
don't think it was a gauntlet match. I think a gauntlet match is one on one.
Right.
So that's,
it's at like, one it's point like I thought eliminator. Well, yeah.
Yeah. At one point I thought maybe a sudden death match is basically what it should have been called. Mm-hmm. But Tony's always got a.
But you knew when they said we don't know who's in it, you knew somebody, either somebody big or a surprise debut or surprise.
I was expecting a surprise debut, to be honest with you. But the closest thing we got to that was Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
The winner of this is going to be, it's going to be the challenger for the international title at Double or Nothing. So immediately that made me think, well, it's not going to be anybody big, because it's that title. You know, that's kind of what was in my head. During this match, they brought up that next week we're going to find out who Swerve's challenger is at Double or Nothing. And then immediately after that, they reminded us that Kenny Omega is returning next week. So I think we're supposed to think that Kenny Omega is going to be the one challenging Swerve. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it would be pretty cool if it was.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What do we got? Oh, so we went to commercial. Kyle O'Reilly was the next one in. He got a haircut and somehow looks worse than it did before. Then Will Ospreay was next, and the crowd went nuts for that. It's funny because the more people that came in the ring, like every time they came in, everyone would disappear and it would always only be two people in the ring. And I couldn't figure out what was going on at first. Like, I thought maybe people had been eliminated, and because I missed the part about the sudden death. But Jay White and Will Ospreay were in there with each other and the crowd was chanting, holy shit. Lance Archer comes in. It was at this point I realized that it was pinfall or submission only. Lance Archer did the that bomb thing he does, the razor's edge thing, tossed Ospreay onto everyone on the outside. Commander came out next. He did a rope walk and put Archer through three tables at ringside. Here's where they finally mentioned it was first pin or submission wins. Commander and Will did some fun stuff. White hit a Uranage on Commander, went for the Blade Runner, but Will reversed it into a Liger Bomb. Then Jay Lethal came out, hit a lethal combination on Dante. Penta had gotten in there. He was in there way earlier. I think I just forgot to write it down. Will got a great near fall on Kyle O'Reilly, and he was about to hit the Tiger Driver 91, but he wouldn't do it. And then Excalibur said something about him mentioning that he was going to retire the move because of injuring Danielson. And I had no idea what he was talking about, because this must have been at the press conference or something.
It was a press conference, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't see the press conference, and I haven't listened to any audio, and I haven't been on Twitter. So
they also had they at that point even mentioned that Danielson was like put in the hospital?
No. Other than Moxley pointing out that they put a hit on his friend. So, you know, but he said that last week before the injury even happened. And you saying Danielson's in the hospital, that's the first I've heard of it, literally. So I have no idea until...
I don't know. I actually don't know that was part of the story, but that he was injured.
Okay. Well, is it legit? I assumed he was selling.
No, he is.
Oh, okay.
I just mean in storyline, he was hurt and hurt bad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They should have showed that. But anyways, so he didn't do the Tiger Driver 91, but then he hit the Hidden Blade on Commander. And he got the win, and he's going to be facing Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong come out there with the rest of the Undisputed Kingdom, including Adam Cole, who's back. He returned at the pay-per-view. He is nothing now. Like, he might as well be Matt Taven. Like, you know what's funny? Did you guys watch the pre-show of Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Or of a Dynasty, I should say?
Yes,
most of it.
So Matt Sydal wrestled Trent Beretta. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this match. And I'm like, why is Adam Cole at ringside? And I'm like, I could have sworn it was Mike Sydal, but you could not convince me that wasn't Adam Cole. Like, those two guys, like, I'm not even making a joke. Like, I legit thought it was Adam Cole. And I'm like, why is he there?
It's a shame because one of the greatest douches in history in terms of wrestling douchebags is Roddy Strong.
Yes.
To the point where he had the stash, he has the glasses, he has the tiny little boot, the shitty little boots, the stupid mask from the last pay-per-view. He has now upped it. He's now dyeing his mustache.
Yeah. And like white, right? Yeah.
It looks almost blonde.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Roderick Strong and Ospreay's going to be a great match at Double or Nothing. In my mind, Will Ospreay's going to win, and then he's going to do like Orange Cassidy and just have this long run of defending the title every other week on TV, and it's going to be freaking awesome. And if we have our array, it'll be even guys from other companies coming in and having these matches with him, and Will just continuing to win, and that'll kill time for like 6 months until they go to next year's Double or Nothing, or All In, and he goes for the title then. And you'll probably have a nice big... Yeah, big match on probably the match of the night on All In, you know, against, you know, some big name.
Okada or something, I don't know.
Yeah, well, Okada's got a belt, but.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Danielson too. No, Danielson's probably Nigel, right?
They could unify them.
Yeah? Yeah, you could do that.
International Continental Champion.
You could do Adam Cole.
I was thinking about this. They said that next week Kenny's on the show, and they also said next week there'll be Swerve's opponent.
Yeah.
Could they be one and the same?
That's what I said.
Oh, wow.
I know.
You always get mad at me for not listening to you.
I literally said that. Well, you were saying a lot of things at once.
Oh, okay.
I filtered some of them out.
No, I think the way they did it is they're doing it to tell us that you're supposed to think that.
Okay, now, whether or not they actually do it. I wasn't sure what you were saying there.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I wasn't meaning to not listen. I was.
Gotcha. No, I mean, I hope that's what it is. If it's not, then it better be something. Well, here's almost the other thing:
there's nothing wrong with putting belts on all your stars, but if you're putting belts on all your stars, then they don't have other stars to fight, and you're looking around going, okay,
yeah,
who can I get now that's worth a main event?
He may be booking for that, like, promotional photo, you know, like UFC would do, where they line up all the champions, you know.
Yeah.
And like, you know, doing like this murderer's row.
Yeah.
Where he's got like, we've got Okada, you know, like Okada, and have them all up there. I don't know if Omega would be at Double or Nothing, because it seems like it seems pretty clear they're doing an Elite versus Elite story.
Yeah.
And it would be weird to kind of sidetrack Omega into that, but I don't know. That would be cool.
Unless somebody else, like, maybe spoils the party and attacks Omega or something. And
they actually, you know what? It's probably going to be Hangman Swerve for the title again.
Yeah.
I can't see Hangman in Winnipeg. I'm trying to think of who else, and there's, like, nobody really lined up.
Doesn't have to be somebody there. They just have to announce who it's going to be.
Doesn't it have to be a contender?
No.
Don't make me consult the rankings, Paul.
They'll be number one.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the rankings in a while. I'm trying to pretend that they don't exist. So out comes the Learning Tree Chris Jericho, which is a stupid name.
Oh my gosh.
And he's got new music too, I think.
It seemed like another Fozzy song.
Yeah. Taz pointed out that Hook's not cleared to travel or compete. Jericho's getting a lot of booze and he's acting like a baby face. He says, "It's true. I'm the new FTW champ. It's great, right?" And he's all being, and he's ignoring the booze, just pretending that the fans are cheering him. He's changing the name of the title. He said it's no longer, you know, F the World or For the World. This is for all of you. Or no, it's now called For the World. Taz is like, oh my God, he says. And he says, we won this together, so thank you. Whole wrestling world is buzzing over this big victory. I can see why. I'm doing God's work. Terry Funk told me years ago, it's your responsibility to teach the younger generation, and that's what I'm doing. So thanks to Terry, and thanks to all of you. And let's hear it for Hook. And what a great champion and a tough competitor. He beat the living hell out of me, but there's still things he needs to take from the Learning Tree. Get rid of that dead weight like Taz and Shibata, all the clowns that surround you. More importantly, Hook, listen to me when I tell you to stay down. You kept getting back up after two Judas effects. You forced me to hit you in the head with a baseball bat. That's on you. I know you're at home listening, thinking about all the lessons you learned, and that's exciting to me. But what's also exciting to me are the men and women drawn into the Jericho Vortex. So many of them. I'm so excited. And then out comes Big Bill, and people are all happy. They think he's gonna attack Jericho, but I knew what was going to happen. And he says, Chris, I've been in the back listening to you. I only have one thing to say. I need the guidance of the Learning Tree. Now, Chris, everyone knows you're the Socrates of pro wrestling, always willing to give advice, to lend a hand, take a less established line and a less established guy and bring him right to the top with you. That's you, Chris. And the announcers are mocking him. Says, I know that there's a long line of guys championing to be a part of the Learning Tree, but take this into consideration. There's no one bigger than me, no better fit than I am for the Learning Tree. Chris, you know it. You know I'm the very best for the Learning Tree. Jericho seems to agree. Says, I got to tell you, Big Bill, been watching you a long time. I'm one of the reasons you're here. I'm going to think about what you had to say. I'm going to be keeping my eyes on you to see if what you say is true. And he tells him, you do that and you show me and I'm going to watch you. And he says, I'll be watching Big Bill and I'll watch all of you as we watch together. And he starts celebrating. And so I guess he's building a new stable and it's going to be called the Learning Tree. And
Which our friend Mike Gilbert pointed out that, and Twan in the chat just pointed out that that was a gimmick in TNA in 2022.
Yep.
With that feuded with Big Bill.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And wasn't John Hotch, I think, was a part of it, and he's still there. Or John Skyler? Yeah, John Skyler and Jason Hotch. I guess Big Bill hasn't watched Jack Swagger in AEW. Yeah, no, he wants some of that Jack Swagger money for doing nothing. I just wish he would go away. Those fans at Dynasty.
I still think this is a rib on Punk in some ways, but yeah, this gimmick is death. And it's heat, but it's X-Pac heat, I think, for me at least. The disingenuous babyface as heel character doesn't work with Chris Jericho. It just does not.
But he loves it.
I know
it's going to be weird next week, though. It's going to be weird next week because I think he's going to get cheered in Winnipeg.
And this is a downgrade for Big Bill, who is awesome in the team with Ricky Starks. That is such an awesome combination. And we're going to do this crap with him.
I can already hear Big Bill's first promo when Ricky Starks comes back. That he got sick and tired of carrying him and his stack of dimes neck, and we're just going to wait till the next time you get injured.
And we're going to turn Starks babyface, aren't we?
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. All right. Remarkable Renee, they pointed out it's going to be a palate cleanser after Jericho. And she's with Ospreay, Fletcher, and Callis. She says it's been an evenings of up and downs. Callis says, I'm excited. He says, Ospreay, you're the golden goose for a reason. You had Kyle. Why didn't you use the Tiger Driver? And Will says, that move's got to go. I hurt Danielson. I can't use it anymore. And Callis says, I don't care if he has 5 broken necks. You use that move. And Kyle Fletcher says, hold on, he won the match. And Callis says, you're the last person I want to hear from right now. You lost. And he says, I got to go manage Hobbs because we're going to win a title tonight and you're going to win one at the pay-per-view. And Fletcher's upset and Ospreay consoles him. And they're
Callis
clearly
was awesome,
splitting up.
And I was hoping he'd manage Hobbs, but no, he went back to the
company. Well, he explained why. He's afraid of Moxley.
Well, doesn't matter.
I actually like the explanation, to be honest with you. Good problem. Good little segment here. I liked it. Anything you add, Kevin? We're actually at the main event.
No, that was the only thing that made me think that there might be a still the Anarchy and Arena thing. If they do 5 versus 5, you could do 3 members of BCC, Fletcher and Ospreay against
a
combination of the Family and the Kingdom.
Yeah, or the BCC. I mean, there's other people. They could always bring in Kingston. He's always kind of in that orbit.
This my improv partner just wrote me. Goes, JFC, Tony, if you belt a guy, he is the guy. You put him on first, and he announces what the era is going to look like.
Yep. There you go. The swerve era.
Yes.
All right, main event time. John Moxley and Powerhouse Hobbs. Remember how I mentioned how hot the crowd was at the beginning for Swerve and Kyle? they didn't care 2 shits about this match for some reason. It was kind of sad, actually. And Moxley was working hard to try to get them, but I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just because it was late or they were using crowd sweetening earlier. I'm not sure what it was, but they did promote at the start of this that Tony Khan and Jack Perry face-to-face is going to be next. So they wanted to make sure we didn't get that tune out that we had last week at the end of when they did that and didn't tell you that the guys were going to be back, or they did, but not good enough, I guess. The match was nice and physical, and like I really liked it, but the crowd wasn't into it. They brought into the crowd. Cal said the game plan was to hurt Mox early. He asked Cal about the dissension, and Cal says, you know what, like Ospreay just has to learn. He needs to do anything to win matches, and he's going to learn that soon enough. And they go back in the ring. Hobbs is taunting him. Excalibur brought up how far Hobbs has come since losing Orange Cassidy in 13 seconds. They've brought that up a few times. So I think we're going back to an Orange Cassidy feud at some point. But that's just where they brought up that Tony Schiavone mocked Callis for being afraid. And he says, of course I'm afraid. You see what he did to me? And then Schiavone said, yeah, every time I look at your forehead. And Schiavone was on one tonight.
Schiavone
cool.
Calling him Frankenstein.
That was awesome. And then Mox did a dive onto Hobbs, and Hobbs went down and he was holding his knee. Ref was checking on him. It looked legit. Taz asked if Callis should check on him, and Callis said, there's doctors for that. And Tony says, you're a cold son of a bitch, aren't you? And Mox rolled him back in the ring. Hobbs was trying to stretch out the knee. Mox brought him back up, and like Hobbs is like hopping. And I wrote down, if he's selling, it's great, but I don't think he is. And Mox put him on the top turnbuckle, started punching him. And then Hobbs was turtling up. Mox gave him a DDT. Callis says his knee is gone. Hobbs kicked out of a pinfall, but then Mox transitioned to the choke. Crowd normally pops like crazy for that, and there was no reaction. Excalibur reminded us that this is how we beat Brody Lee, and eventually Hobbs just went out, and the ref stopped it, and felt like the finish was really flat. I think he's really hurt, and I hope he's not, but doesn't look good. I don't know if anybody's heard anything.
I haven't seen anything, but
okay.
It did feel like they kind of stopped the plan.
I mean, yeah. Hobbs and even Fletcher to some respect, but also Wardlow. They wonder why they don't have any monsters in AEW, and it's because they keep feeding them to all their, I want to say stars, but you know, it's really their technical stars in some ways. Whereas a
monster, Moxley usually does a good job with them, but he always beats them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hobbs's next victory needs to be against a guy for a belt.
Yeah. Really, he got that big win over Jericho where he mowed through him, and then we didn't see him again for months.
Yeah. This is one of those things that's baffling to me about AEW and the way that they view who should be. I mean, we have 30 belts, and you know what? I'd even say if he's okay, maybe he's the guy to beat Mark Briscoe for the ROH title.
Give him Athena on ROH.
If we don't have enough faith to give him a mid-card title in AEW, let's give him the big belt in ROH, which doesn't matter, but some people...
And he could just mow through guys there.
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin, it sounded like you had something you wanted to say.
I did not.
Oh, okay. So yeah, they took time, Moxley, they played his song all the way through. They showed him exiting through the crowd. I thought they missed a great opportunity for a line there because Takeshita comes out. Oh, yeah. Moxley was in the camera and he's talking about Ren Narita, who 95% of the people watching have no idea who that is, but that's his next title defense in New Japan. And Takeshita showed up on the ramp and started calling out Moxley and making the belt motion. And I know Moxley's got a few title defenses in Japan, but I also know that Tony could just randomly say this match is going to be next week. But I hope that Takeshita and Moxley is at Forbidden Door. Feels like a long way away, but that's the match I would do. To me, that's a big match, especially if you build it properly. If you give Takeshita a bunch of wins between now and then. And
if they do Anarchy, you could have him beat Moxley.
Yeah, you could have him pin Moxley. That'd be awesome. And Mox went through the crowd
the
and I,
you to win.
Oh yeah. And I thought they made a mistake or they missed a line because when Moxley left through the crowd, Callis should have said, oh, he's leaving through the crowd because he's afraid of Takeshita and he doesn't want to go past him on it.
Yeah. But, that would have been good.
You know, we were talking about how Chuck looked in that opening segment.
Yeah.
Takeshita just kind of woke up, rolled out of bed, and came
a little bit, to do it. A little bit.
And that's
but even guy, rolling out of bed, he looks like $1 million.
And well, that's kind of my point here.
Oh, okay.
It's like, let's I think he did do the Masaccio black duster look with sunglasses once or something. He's tall guy, much like Okada, probably looks fantastic in a suit. Let's give him some aura here.
Yeah. You know who looked great was Moxley. Moxley looks healthy. He's got the haircut. He's buzz cut or
he
shaved.
He looks much better with a shaved head than he does trying to grow out his receding hairline.
Yes. And he looks like he's physically he's leaned out and he's a little bit shredded. And
championship shape.
Absolutely. Yeah. They did what I thought was going to be a hard sell for Collision and Rampage. They mentioned that Collision and Rampage are going to be airing following the NBA playoffs, but they didn't actually say when. I have no idea when. Is it afternoon games? Is it evening games? Is it nighttime? Does the show start at 11? Do they start at 9? I have no idea. I know they can't give us an exact time, but they could give us a window. It'll probably start around 10.
It's after the night game, you get 3 hours of wrestling.
So you're going to be going to 2 a.m.?
Probably.
Oh, okay. Duh. Well, maybe that's why
it's all being taped. It's not live.
Yeah.
Are they taping a different night or is it live but on delay?
I
they're
don't
still
know.
Taping Saturday, right? I don't know.
They might be taping these shows right now.
I believe they're taping Rampage now and
Collision. Okay. Maybe I think Collision's tomorrow.
I could see them doing the parking lot brawl at least as a pre-tape, yeah, at the very least.
Because it's Jacksonville, right? It's like their home arena.
So they're just like, that's where they, yeah.
But all they announced was, so for Collision, we got the Bullet Club Gold against Top Flight and Action Andretti. So it's playing off that singles match that between Jay White and Dante Martin that didn't actually happen. And Toni Storm against Anna Jay. They did not mention whether this was a title match or a title eliminator or anything. They just said these two are wrestling. So, and then on Rampage, it should be a title match because I think Anna might be ranked. Rampage is Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo. So they're already doing that. And the parking lot fight between Trent Barretta and Chucky T. So four matches in 3 hours. It's going to be a long night. I assume that Tony will announce some stuff on Twitter if he hasn't already. Then we got a quick little thing that
How could he do that when he's out injured right now?
Oh, yeah. Who's going to promote these shows? Maybe Will Washington. Oh, my God.
There's going to be also, no promotion whatsoever of AEW.
I also want to point out, Paul, just because I know you'll love this, is Top Flight and Action Andretti are getting a unified trios championship match on Collision after last week having lost to Edge, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe 1 week ago.
Why did you have to tell me that? I don't care about the rankings.
So it's now the unified titles? We're just yes. Not, oh, geez. So we're gonna
no, it's one set of belts at least. So we got rid of... Tony actually unified belts.
Still had both belts.
Yeah, but they're unified. They're not defended separately. Tony cleared that up at the press conference. Right. I heard him.
Wait, so I thought you said you didn't see any of the press conference.
The pre-show one.
Okay.
Yeah. Where Sam Shipman asked the best question and Tony ignored it like the coward that he is. And I was my son was in the car listening with me and he doesn't really follow wrestling at all, but he had heard about the Nyla Rose thing, which is what Sam asked about. And then when she asked Tony whether they would run any more shows in Oklahoma or is he going to wait until they change the rules or will they just run shows and not use her? And he wouldn't answer it. And my son said, Tony's a coward for not answering the question. So anyways, Katsuyori Shibata was standing by with Renee. And she says, earlier tonight, we heard from Jericho, and you have something to say. So he uses a little translator thing, and he says, Jericho called me a dead weight and collateral damage. Next week, I'm going to damage him in Winnipeg and become the FTW champion. I'm going to chop down the learning tree. Next week in Winnipeg, it'll be Shibata versus Jericho. And then he stops, and then he types something else in, and he said, those rhinestones make a heart, Renee, and that's fun. And Renee said, yeah, it does. And just at that moment, it dawned on me, Shibata is in love with Renee Paquette. And I hope this leads to a match between him and John Moxley.
I'm here for that. That Renee is the voice of the phone.
Is it?
It sounds very similar.
That's hilarious.
It's not Nurse Chapel.
I didn't even pick up on that, but it's possible. All right, main event segment. Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He called out Jock Perry, comes out to no music. Fans are singing Cry Me a River. And at first it was not many, but it picked up and he took the mic. Tony Schiavone leaves in disgust and more fans are singing it. So Jack Perry holds up the mic for everyone. And he says, first thing first, I've had some of the best nights of my life right here in Jacksonville. But tonight we got business to handle and I want to handle it right here, right now, face to face with Tony Khan. And he looks to the ramp. Fans are chanting, he's our scapegoat. So Tony Khan comes out. I'm like, oh, boy. He stands across from Jack. He's got an awkward smile. Jack says, it's been a long road. Almost 5 years ago was the very first Double or Nothing. Since then, AEW has gone on to change the world. Now, Tony, it's no secret that we've had our ups and downs. Tony nods. He says, I want to tell you this right now from the bottom of my heart. The only thing I've ever wanted is what's best for AEW. Tony Khan clapped at that. He looked at the crowd. So I want to ask you to please shake my hand and reinstate me and let's go and continue to change the world together. Tony Khan's got this big smile, puts his thumbs up, shakes his hand. They hug. Jack looks away to the camera with a sheepish grin and he raises his hand and I'm like, oh no. And Tony Khan pointed at him just like he does with everybody he signs and hugs. And Perry hit him in the gut with a mic and Tony Khan goes down like he's been shot. And out come the Bucks and Okada. And it was like, this is a billionaire. What are you doing? And Okada's checking on Tony Khan. And he backs off Perry. And then all of a sudden, the Bucks are like in position to give Tony Khan the EVP trigger. And there's like this big hush. And then they just help Tony up. And then they picked him up and they put him in a pile driver position. And they gave him the Meltzer driver. And Jack dragged him into the ring. And Bryce Rensburg comes out. What the hell's wrong with you? And more refs are out. Perry's flipping off the crowd. Crowd's booing. But Matt Jackson just looks at the camera. He says, thank you, Jacksonville. We love you so much. And the crowd's chanting scapegoat. The Elite leaves. Tony's lying dead in the ring. Babyfaces run out to check on him. But it's mostly just losers. Some Mexican dude is front and center. I have no idea who Paul, it is.
Paul, do you not recognize who that was? That was Shad Khan.
Yes, that was.
Are you serious?
That was real? Tony Khan's father.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had no idea. How would I know? Like, I thought it was. He mentioned that he hired somebody named Carlos recently, and I thought that might be who it was.
Carlos Cabrera. It's not Carlos Cabrera.
Okay. How would I know what Shad Khan looks like? Okay, so Shad Khan was there. Somebody edit that. So I was really, really liking this show up until this segment, and I have no idea what to think about it. Because it's just bizarre. Like, I'm not sure if they're supposed to be baby faces or heels. I mean, I assume they're supposed to be heels, but I think the fans are cheering for them. If they're heels, then is CM Punk a baby face? What's Khan? Like, I just have no idea. I don't know.
This is a mess that they didn't have to make. And trust me, the AEW tribalists will be at war with the Jim Cornettes of the world, who are just going to eat this for this was chum in the water for those types. Now let's my God, let's parse a couple of things out of this.
All right.
So will AEW now just be all Elite Wrestling?
Isn't
because
that what it
now
already
that
is?
The Elite has taken over the management in a coup against Tony Khan. Yes, Tony Khan is now an on-screen character instead of an NPC, which sucks. Yeah. Although, I mean, this trope has been used well. Don't get me wrong. David Crockett getting Russian sickled by Nikita, I thought was very effective at the time in the 80s, but it's been an overdone trope.
Vince right with Stone Cold. Obviously,
Bully Ray powerbombing Dixie Carter through a table.
Yeah.
No. When I'm mentioning Vince and Stone Cold, I'm talking the very first time when before the Brett stuff happened. Remember when he stunned Vince and that kicked off his run? That was huge.
Let's get to the very problematic part of this. You fired a guy in the real world because you feared for your life, your own words, who never laid a finger on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in your kayfabe world.
Yep.
And your executive vice president, one of your giant free agents, and the son of Luke Perry, beat you up.
Yeah.
You have to fire them, right? I mean,
all of them.
I get that this is going to probably turn into a match for the control of the company. And boy, don't we love office politics on wrestling shows. Isn't that a lot of fun? But still, my point stands that you're blurring the kayfabe and real worlds here with this in a way that I don't think... Look, it's not like Tony has the greatest grasp of subtle storytelling in the world. The Bucks are trolls. I get this. They're very good trolls at this. They probably want to use this to troll people. But at the same time, you want people to not be sympathetic to CM Punk, who you fired, who never touched you.
Right.
I'm sorry. This is just...
If they had never shown the footage and did everything else exactly the same, this could
might be better.
It would probably be better because you wouldn't have Punk evoke. Yeah. And there were some chants that got booed down. Like, I think the fan base is like, the people
they want to
the
move on.
They're wanting to move on. And there's always going to be three or four dudes trying to start the chant and they're going to get booed down. they're going to get attention for this. I think Tony is that person who thinks all discourse. Now, here's the part that is super interesting to me. Tony Khan is being followed by NFL Films as a behind the scenes documentary because the NFL draft is tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Does Tony Khan, does Tony Khan show up to the NFL draft and risk his credibility with the NFL to wear a neck brace?
Does his dad go on TV too on the draft?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know.
He's probably in the war room. I mean, they're going to show the war room.
Oh, he's going to be in a neck brace. Remember Pat McAfee?
Oh, I want a body cast.
Remember Pat McAfee wore a neck brace to UFC?
Just have him wheel him in, and he's like got sunglasses because it made him go blind and like,
You give him a body cast, and then when the match is for the soul of the company, Tony Khan is in it, and they throw the body cast on a guy, and somebody can't count out of the three.
Oh my God!
I'm here for this.
Okay,
I'm here for
now,
this ridiculous.
I want to play
burn it down.
Devil's advocate on this, whether or not it sucked. And I do like what Jason said here. The reaction split into three camps. It sucked. It was awesome, or it was great, but bad long term. So two out of three ain't bad. But depending on your perspective, I think that they need to take a chance. Whether or not it works, at least they're trying something different. Because what they were doing, I'm not sure if it was working.
Hold on. Like, what are they doing different than any other company that's gone up against WWE in the last 20 years? Because Dixie Carter did this crap all the time.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
And Kevin Nash powerbombed Eric Bischoff.
But they're in a... And that worked.
And then Eric Bischoff
turned out to be
the mastermind behind everything.
But that worked, like, you know, so if that's the argument you're making. Yeah. And for TNA, they didn't have the platform that WWE does. So, you know, and then not only that, they didn't have the talent that AEW has.
There was a post show video they posted on Twitter. I didn't catch the whole thing because I was playing it while listening to y'all, but it was pretty clearly framing the whole thing as the Bucks have taken over AEW. We finally changed the world. We finally made all elite. And this is the elite, you know, the four of them being the elite. And they were pretty like a little less snarky, a little more like hardcore heel in it.
Could this actually just be writing out Tony Khan? Because you mentioned that he's finally an on-screen character. He's been an on-screen character for a while, so maybe this is getting rid of him.
I'm watching the gif of Perry hitting Tony. He hits him in the stomach with the microphone.
Yeah.
And Tony acts like
backwards.
He's knocked out. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's consistent with...
Punch they before?
They could have coached him a little more, yeah.
I'll bet you he hasn't.
Is he like a referee where every touch of him he becomes paper mache and collapses?
I would pay like every cent in my bank account to see Steve Austin stun him and his sell for a stunner.
How he sells the
stunner. NFL homepage, guys. Jaguars Tony Khan
takes
punch pile driver.
Oh,
he
has laid the groundwork for this to get coverage.
This is PR. Yeah. This is pure PR, and all these.
You know what? About this might be brilliant
Cholanza
then.
And
because the NFL draft is tomorrow, right?
Right.
Like, yes. And that's gonna be way outrate anything else on television this week by multiples, and they're gonna be talking about Tony.
But if the people who are hosting the NFL draft TV show are just mocking this dude for like. I would hope that, and that's a sign to me that he knows what's going to happen as far as the NFL's role in this, and they're complicit to some degree, at least in going along with it, not participating in any way, but like, you know, that like, they're not going to, but that there would be a risk that it'd be like, oh my God, look at this cheesy wrestling dude, you know?
Yeah. He's a spreadsheet guy. He's not part of the scouting department. He's not part of, I mean, he's, you know, he has business decisions in there, but he's going to be part of about 25 people in that room.
But isn't he labeled like a co-owner?
No, he's like a vice president, I think.
Oh, okay. But he'll be front and center with his freaking
But there was an article about that NFL Films was following him on draft class, okay. Like in a behind the scenes.
Now, maybe so... part of the documentary. Mm. But yeah.
I smell a reality show coming.
All Access Season 2, Tony's year.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't know. I think Tony's going to
be more of an on-screen character. I do.
Oh, God.
I also hope that after the show, if they did do any Rampage matches, that instead of Tony, because, you know, Tony would always come out after every taping and thank everybody and talk about Time Cop. And
should be the Bucks.
Yeah, let's go. It should be the Bucks coming out and doing that.
Or Mercedes. She's the new CEO.
Mercedes tweeted that she's the new CEO. Yeah.
Yeah. That could work.
I don't know. So, any number of ways.
I think they're going to get I think this show is going to do well. And I think next week is going to do well too. And Winnipeg, hey, like, am I going to see Tony Khan next week? If I do, is he going to be in a
No, much like the wrestlers, he doesn't have to sell an injury either.
He doesn't come to Winnipeg. Oh, wow. This is cool. Yeah. Nobody else gets that.
I didn't get that. Humor.
Yeah. All right. That's about it. We went just a little bit over. As I mentioned earlier, if you guys want to hear more, Jeff and Kevin, did Sam end up or Mel end up joining you too?
Yep, Mel was with us for the whole time.
Mel as well. Did a post show on Sunday, Dynasty post show. It's on the Fight Game Media YouTube as well as our audio feed. Jeff, give us your other plugs.
At Crap Game 13 for arcane references, bad jokes, and probably bad takes. I do a show over on Voices of Wrestling with Chris Novembrino called Shake Them Ropes. This week, a lot of his takes on what's been happening and all this. I'm sure he's going to have an opinion on this Tony Khan angle. We'll talk WWE cuts and a lot of other things. That should drop late this week, Friday, Saturday, Thursday, one of those things.
Kevin, you got any plugs?
No, I'm a pinch hitter. So
yeah,
a plug sometimes whenever you invite me back, I'll show up and I may be covering, be trying to cover for you in some form next week. I just have to work at me. I have to be.
If not, we'll probably ask maybe Mel and Sam or somebody. We'll get somebody for Jeff. And me, I've got this show as well as The Joy of Wrestling, which has been going really well. We've done 4 shows so far. Kevin was my first guest. I'm going to get Jeff on at some point. I had Garrett Gonzalez on last week talking WrestleMania 2 and the buildup to it. And I got Sam Shipman from the Power Bombshells joining me next week. We're going to do it Sunday night instead of Monday due to her work schedule. And I don't know what she's going to talk about yet. So tune in and find out. It'll be right here on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel exclusively. Not on the audio feed, just YouTube. So for Jeff, I've been Paul, and Kevin as well. This has been The Dynamite Show. Later.
Game is tied.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.